most strength and conditioning coaches are kind of crazy in the first place. His name is Craig Fitzgerald. Craig comes to us from the Houston Texans. He is going to talk today on performance training for football. Craig's resume includes he's been with the Texans since 2014. Prior to that, he was 2 years with Penn State, where he's the director of strength and conditioning for football. He was also strength and conditioning director at the University of South Carolina from 09 to 11. Director of sports medicine or strength and conditioning at Harvard. He's got to be smart to be at Harvard. 5 to 09. Assistant strength and conditioning of at University of Maryland, where he also, that's where he kind of started his career. His undergraduate degree was from there, and he played football. He was a football player there. Had a grad assistantship in Arizona for a few months, and then he got a real job. He coached some high school football when he got out. So without further ado, I want to introduce our first speaker, Craig Fitzgerald.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me today. It's a real honor. And Brad, my wife would agree with you. Most straight coaches are crazy, me being the craziest. So thanks so much for having me out here. When Bob asked me to come and speak, I was truly honored for two reasons. One, to speak with a great group like you, and also because of Bob and his representation of our athletic training staff at the Houston Texans. They're just, you know, consummate workers, always trying to serve the athletes the best they can. No stone unturned. If you see Bob at practice, he works harder than the players. And he has a great angle for dispersing water to the players. He's really tall, so he can shoot it down at them, which is pretty impressive. So you can get more water to the players than any trainer I've ever seen in my life. So it's a true honor to work with Bob and to be speaking on behalf of the Houston Texans. So my mission as a strength and conditioning coach is to coach and serve my athletes with integrity at all times. To fulfill this mission, I need to do a lot of different things. I need to enter to learn and leave to serve. So every time I go in the building, I'm trying to learn something new and then use it to help the athletes. I always want to have continuous improvement in my mindset. And, you know, it stems from just, you know, I'm around great people all the time, from the athletic trainers to the athletes to my assistant strength coach. So I'm always trying to learn and improve. I've been blessed. I know Bob and, you know, the affiliation here, and there's different levels of athletic trainers, and you know, there's entering, there's interns, there's head athletic trainers. You really are as good as your crew, and you're as good as your staff and team. That's what really makes you as good as you can be, and I've been blessed along the way. I try and visit other performance coaches as many times as I can. In our off season, I always try and time my family vacation around visiting another strength coach or an athletic trainer or a private performance coach so I can learn something. They're all around, so wherever we go, I can try and visit somebody. I just visited with Katie's high school head strength coach right in the weight room there. Bob took me in. He's doing a tremendous job in conjunction with the coaches and athletic trainers in there, helping those athletes be their best. Obviously, meet with athletic trainers. Jeff Kaplan and I, the head trainer for the Houston Texans, we meet probably 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day, just about different athletes, scheduling, whatever it is. I talk to Jeff more than my wife. We meet with sport coaches. So today we have a 10 o'clock staff meeting. I may or may not make it. I'm not too worried about it, but we always meet with our football coaches. In this case, in the NFL, it's all football. But I'm kind of jealous of the Katie strength coach because he had all athletes, girls and boys in their training, which is what I was used to at Harvard. That was awesome because you get to know so many athletes and so many sport coaches. You're always learning. So it's a little boring just doing football, I'll be honest with you. But we try and meet with those coaches as much as possible. Listen to my athletes. I had a walk-on long snapper in South Carolina, Walker and Abedant, WWI. He said, "Hey, coach, bring the iron back. I think I got a little too cute the second year I was in South Carolina doing all sorts of different things I was seeing on the internet, all 18 different activation tools before we even started pulling some weight or pushing some weight or squatting some weight." And he just said, "Coach, you know what? I think we need to get back to the basics." So I listened, and it really worked out well. Look at what leaders in other fields are doing. Classic rockers. You know, I like classic rock. I think I'm a little dated just by judging from the music that was in the weight room there. But, you know, keeping it simple. One chord, trying to be good at a few things. That's kind of what I steal from. But what other field you can listen to or read about. Serve. Be grateful. And the athletic trainers and strength coaches, in my experience, are right at the ground floor of what goes on. They are doing all the work. And they're They're there at the ground floor, and that's a tough place to be a lot of times. We don't decide playing time. We're just trying to help our athletes be at their best. For the two athletes that come through your weight room that maybe are not giving all they have or not listening to everything you're saying, there's 98 of them or 99 of them. They're doing a great job. Try and remember those 99. If you're really a motivated trainer, it's probably hard to do that because you're always trying to figure out how you can do better. But take a deep breath at the end of the day and think about all the good folks that were in your athletic training room and all the good you did for them. Be humble. There are a lot of damn good strength coaches out there. I just saw five of them in that weight room right there. All right, you know, whatever position you are or whoever you're training, there's great ones out there. There's many great ones. So, you never wake up and say, hey, I'm the best there is. You wake up, hey, how can I be the best I can be? That's simple as that. He coached me. Dallas Cowboys strength coach Bob Ward, referring to Randy White. I asked Bob Ward, I said, hey, what was it like to coach Randy White? Randy White was a great Maryland Terrapin. I was not a great Maryland Terrapin. I went there, I was a walk-on, tried hard. Try hard guy, you know what those are, right? So I asked him, I said, what was it like coaching Randy White, the manster? He goes, he coached me. I go, what do you mean by that? He goes, I learned from him every day. And that taught me a lot of what I needed to know about being a strength coach. Leave no stone unturned. There's a lot of different modalities. There's a lot of things that are evolving right now in our field, sports science, things like that. Try and learn as much as you can. You may not use it all. I know I kind of dispense more than I use, but it's good to learn everything you can so you have more tools in your toolbox to help your athletes. It's about the athletes. They're the reason our profession exists. Anytime, and we all catch ourselves. I catch myself all the time, at end of the night. It's Monday, it starts with a little glass of wine. By the end of the week, I'm filling up a J.J. Watt cup this big of a glass of wine. That's just how it goes. And, I'm talking to myself, I'm like, hey, look. These athletes are great. They're trying hard. They're the reason we're here. Let's just keep helping. KISS principle. It goes back to what I talked about with my man Walker and Abernett. Hedgehog approach. This is something this is my 20th year in the field. That's not a long time to compare to some of the athletic trainers in here, but I'm better than I was the first year. That's all I can tell you. And some of the things I've learned are hedgehog approach. Dig in one spot to get the deepest. Don't try and be an inch wide and a mile deep, Try and be an inch wide, mile deep, okay? Not the other way around. Try and get as good as you can in a few things. Program prioritization. That's pretty key. I mean, there's a laundry list of things you want to accomplish. I'll get into what we try and do on a daily basis. We try and hit it each time. Maybe more in some categories than others, but we try and take care of a few things each time we come in. The never-ending search always leads me back to simplifying even more. If you can have 18 different exercises in your program, but if they're not good at any of them, if you just keep, hey, let's do this the next day and let's do this the next day, and they're not getting better and improving at those, you've really accomplished nothing. So we're trying to get great technique on a few things. As that happens, we can expand. Patience plus persistence equals progress. And I know some of this stuff you can tie into what you do. Maybe some it's hard, but I'm here as a strength coach, and I'm not going to try and try and be an athletic trainer. I'm not capable of doing that, so I just want to show you what we do. But for our field, patience plus persistence equals progress. That's really the key here. So just, you never want to load the weight up. You want to take your time, let it happen. It's all about the movement. The key to any successful strength program is simplicity. And that's really the key. As I watch football and other sports, the teams that do great do a few things great. When they go complicated, we go simple. So, like I said, there's a lot of things you want to look at and as they're coming to. We just hired a sports science. He's trying to do a lot of different things with our program. Jeff Kaplan and I sit down with him on a daily basis and just try and see what will work for us. Okay, but we don't want to make the program complicated where the athletes are just doing a bunch of stuff that maybe isn't helping them. But we're using some things that really are helpful from that. No secret sauce. Win by executing the fundamentals. I know in your field with Jeff, Roland, Travis Turner, they do a tremendous job of making sure the fundamentals of rehab are taken care of on a daily basis. Those guys have a loaded athletic training room at 6 a.m. every day. We have an OTA or football practice because the players believe they don't have to be in there at 6. We open the doors at 6, but, a lot of the superstars, they could come in at 7:45 before the 8 o'clock meeting and do no preparation. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of guys in the athletic training room because they believe in what's going on there. Wax on, wax off. Mr. Miyagi. I love Karate Kid. I like the new Karate Kid, too. I guess it's not that new anymore with Will Smith's kid. They're both really good. But, jacket on, jacket off. I watched it with my kids the other night. It's the same principle of doing the beginning right. Back in Black, AC/DC. If you know that song, there's just one chord, and it's a great song. Build relationships. Be a great friend and supporter to my athletes. Now, when I did this, I typed this up. My wife's like, be a great friend. Like, maybe that's not, I'm not a general. I'm a private. I'm with the guys. I'm not, I am trying to be a great friend. Now, a great friend doesn't mean, like, tell me about your weekend, okay? A great friend is, hey, how can I help you? How can I help you? Is there something going on in your life? Come in the office. If you want to close the door, we'll talk, okay? Let me help you out. Or let me help give you a stretch. Let me help you get ready for the game. Let me help you do some extra work, some extra core, whatever you need, you feel like you need. Let me help you. That's being a great friend to me. Be a great teammate to everyone in the building. Do it, okay? So, like, look, I'm not looking to have coffee or break bread or have a beer with everybody in the building. That's just not human nature, okay? But I can be a great teammate to everybody in the building. You know, I can make sure I'm talking well or not saying at all about other people in the building. Or I can make sure I'm being supportive of people if they have a good idea in the building. So that's what I'm talking about. No clicks, just trying to be a great teammate. Be a great positive energy source. So I think the weight room, and Bob Marley walked me into that Katie one. I'm going to keep talking about that. It was a great experience. We were in there for about 5 minutes, but it was awesome. I mean, that's the hub here. I mean, there's every athlete, every sport is going through there in a circuit. And the juice in there, I mean, was awesome. Like, I thought I needed a cup of coffee before I got here, and that just got me sparked up right there. That's positive energy they're running through there. Make the weight room the hub. After a workout, before a workout, at the end of the day, I don't mind the guys coming in. As long as it's not while we're training, we're trying to keep a tempo, you know. But as long as, if they come in there and they use that as a place to meet up and talk and talk about the game and just get to know each other, I really like that. The team. And we have, every NFL team has some people that their media promotes, right? I mean, it's just the way it goes. But in the weight room, there's none of that. Everybody's a star in the weight room. Everybody's the same. So we may have a guy, we have 90 guys in the squad now, we're going to cut down to 53 in a few months, then we cut down to 47 every Sunday. But I can't worry about that. I got to coach everybody in there, and if I ever become a superstar gazer or a guy that is, you know, all about a few guys, I should get out of this business. I don't know who's going to make the team. And even if I do, I have an idea of about 40 guys who are making a team, I have an idea about 15 guys who are going to get cut. I put my blinders on and try and coach those guys along with my staff. Because they're there for me to help them. I don't care if it's J.J. Watt, and I don't care if it's a guy that's a fifth tackle that we need for camp. They're going to get coached. Everyone is a star in the weight room. They may not be on HEB commercials. You may never see them, but they're a star in our weight room. Build character. Instill core principles in my athletes that will last a lifetime. There is a great high school strength coach. A great high school football coach. The school used to be called, well, it's still called CB West, but it used to be the big, they were like the Katy or equivalent of the state champs in Texas, the big school in Pennsylvania. So their head coach that's passed away this past winter, so I read an article about him in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he's the all-time winningest coach in Pennsylvania school history. I know in Texas, it's not Texas, I get you, but Pennsylvania football's right up there and maybe the top 10. Not near you guys, though. Okay. But discipline, he said here was the key ingredient. There was no secret sauce. Discipline, hard work, toughness, intensity, consistency, organization, commitment, preparation. Coached for 30 years, had 15 undefeated seasons, won 5 state championships. That's what it was about. Okay, his son became the head football coach of the Browns later on, Mike Pettine Jr. Training goal. Now we're getting into the training. We hit on all the intangibles, kind of the build-up as far as what we need to accomplish first. That's really what it's about for us. And here's what we do. Here's our principles. Here's what we do on a daily basis. We want to build dominators. And this could be used for any sports. This isn't not just about the Houston Texans, by the way, okay? There's no Texans logos on here at all. I was a college strength coach for 17 years before I came to the NFL. So my base is college. And then I was Division III, which is a lot like high school. So I'm talking with everybody here. We do this with the Texans, too. I wouldn't change for that. But this is really something we came up with over 20 years. We got to hit mobility. Got to do it. The first thing we do. And how do we do that? We do it in our warm-up. We want to get things done. Like, you know the Franklin planner? Yeah, everybody have a different planning system. I use the Franklin planner. Man, I got 4 things I want to hit every time the athletes come in. Mobility. Got to hit it first in the warm-up. Got to do it. It may not get done otherwise. You know, we had a plan of doing post-practice stretch, which is awesome. But our head coach at the Texans, he'll call it up and go, all right, guys, go in there. See ya. Good job today. And we don't have any post-practice stretch. So I took it out of the schedule. I actually do... I'll get in the warm-up later, but we do mobility first. We do speed second. Want to be fast, okay, early in the workout. It's easy to do. It actually provides for a really nice extended warm-up into our strength after that. We'll get more into these in a minute. And we finish with conditioning. And the reason that works for us is the conditioning becomes cumulative after that. So we don't really need to do a ton of conditioning. If we've done those 3 things well beforehand, we've been going for a little while, we can just kind of finish it off in the conditioning part. Now, logistically, that doesn't always work out. And like even this summer with our setup at Houston, you know, we're going to have to condition Raptor speed because we're right outside and we don't have an indoor near our weight room. So just the way it goes. But in the wintertime, we did it like this. Okay, it worked out well. We conditioned right in the weight room. Mobility. Need Mo to get in and out of athletic positions. That's as simple as that. You know, I saw the guys outside and the gals doing under the hurdles, over the hurdle. I mean, they're getting in and out of athletic positions, okay? They have to be strong enough, they have to be mobile enough to do it. Keep athletes in competition, making plays, and for a longer time. So we're trying to extend careers in our situation, and we're also trying to make plays in every situation. So we need mobility to do that. We need Mo. With no Mo, there's no go. You can't be fast, you can't be strong, and you can't be in shape with that mobility. That's a critical thing for us. And our guys now are maybe at the top of their maybe maximizing their potential right now. If they're at 27, 28 years old, they're really not going to get significantly stronger, just the way it goes. So what can they work on? We want to get them up to a certain strength level every season so they can get there and they can be as strong as they need to be. But we're not going to improve a 450-pound bencher to 500 pounds if he's 28 years old. So it's not going to happen. So we try and work on things like mobility, something we can improve upon, core strength, conditioning, body composition. But mobility is a real big one. Our guys understand that, and they try and work on that all the time. Put first in the program so it gets done, done, done. We try and get done, done, done. We do it first. We do it in the middle of the program. We do it at the end of the program on a good day without, you know, when our head coach and our football coach isn't involved, and they don't kind of dice us up at the end. Warm up, get moving and flowing. That's part of our mobility. Mobility, we try and do dynamic range of motion. So the warm up for us, if it's in the wintertime, maybe footwork ladders, maybe jump rope. When we're outside of practice or when we're going to do a run, we do a dynamic warm up, basic form running drills everybody knows. Then we hit the mobility. If we're outside, it could be, you know, elephant walks, Frankensteins, lateral lunges, things like that, real basic stuff. If we're inside, it could be just a dynamic rope stretch or hurdle flex. And then static stretching, we do it before as well. Let me just tell you why, okay? We do it after mobility and right before the activity happens. We just hold each stretch for about 10 seconds, but the reason is because our former defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel, wanted to talk to the athletes to get that last meeting time in. Now, I'm saying that as a joke, because you guys know that football players meet way too much. They don't retain hardly any of that stuff. They're all about, I mean, I know as a former football player, I needed to walk through. I didn't need to sit there and look at a screen like this. So, but these guys never stop meeting with these guys. And it's probably true in every sport. So at the stretch, they start talking about, hey, we're going to do this on this. And I'm just like, you guys just met for 2.5 hours. Can I just have 9 minutes? But, you know, that's how it goes. So we put it in there for that. And actually, the guys really liked it. It gets them a little more range of motion. So I know there's some readings out there, and it's been out there forever, but hey, don't do stack stretch. We're holding each stretch for about 10, 20 seconds. And also, we don't have the opportunity to do it at the end of practice. Just talking about real life. Speed. Speed is seductress. Everybody chases speed. Parents will pay money for speed, right? Speed coach. Get on the internet. Come to my speed coaching. I will make your son or daughter the fastest they could ever be. It's ain't going to happen. We've looked at combine prep at South Carolina, Penn State, and University of Maryland, Harvard, getting guys ready for the combine, getting ready for that 40. And we've done it a couple different ways. Whenever we trained our legs hard, with good technique, but hard, our vertical jumps went up and our 40s got better, okay? Whenever we didn't do that, and we didn't practice our mobility, and we didn't work on our, you know, 10 yards and down in our lunges and our squats and our jumping, we got slower. So the key to running fast is all the things, not just working on speed technique. So anybody can sell you the magic potion about running fast, it's just not going to happen. You got to be strong to run fast, okay? Getting to the party first is vital in athletics. You got to get mobile, you got to get strong, and you got to be in shape to run fast. Speed workouts are long, and you have to lift after, so you better be in shape for them. So we work on that early in our program before we start working on running high-end speed. We don't just start right away when they come back in April on high-end speed. Got to get strong, got to get mobile, got to get a good conditioning base first. And the speed is just the very end of this whole thing. Training should be unbridled, aggressive, explosive, competitive. You'll get faster running with teammates than you're going to get by yourself. Okay, your nervous system gets ramped up when you race. You run faster than you usually run. We try and run first, and we try and be aggressive in it. The jumping. We have three components every time we do a speed training session. We don't just do linear speed. That's not realistic to athletics. Our athletic trainers love this because we're getting the athletes ready for the field and doing change of direction, doing jumping, and doing linear speed all at once. That's what athletics is. It's not just running straight ahead. So we start with jumps first, kind of warm our body up, get our nervous system going. We don't do a ton of them, okay? Maybe it's 5 sets of 3, whatever the jump is that day. We sprint next, okay, because we're really juiced up. We're not fatigued yet. And then we work on cutting. That could be a position drill. That could be, you know, around the cones. Could be reaction, whatever it is. We're trying to be real aggressive in those. Not a lot of reps, just trying to do quality. And we really avoid pulling a lot of hamstrings. We don't do 20 reps of linear speed. We may only hit six because we have those. We have six jumps to do, six sprint sets to do, and six cutting sets. That's 18 reps. Okay, strength. This is America and we like to lift. Okay, this isn't Sweden. We're not playing tennis. We're getting football players ready. We're going to spend some time in the weight room. Okay, so it's a big part of what we do. So we run first, get all juiced up. Then we are in that weight room. We're going to dedicate an hour at least to lifting weights. We're power focused in the weight room. Move heavyweight fast as athletic. We're not looking to strain on a heavy squat and get up to here. That really doesn't apply the field. Want to move the weights fast. And you can have tendo units to measure that, all that good stuff. But you can really eyeball it too. When the athlete's moving the weights and there's some shock to them and they look like they're in good position, looks like they can handle more, and the weights on the bar is more than they've done recently, you're doing a good job. Start too light to master the technique and prepare the body for more later. Okay, we always start, we tell the guys, look, we're going to start with 50% of your max week one and take our time, okay? We just want to get them better at the technique because we know later on we can load that thing up better than we can week one. We're going to avoid a lot of injuries. Guys are going to peak out at the right time. You can never start too late. What's the hurry, right? Early on, make lightweight feel heavy. Make heavyweight, it turns into making heavyweight feel light later on. So start with pauses, things like that. Maybe you want an eccentric load. I think you can just go right to pauses and hold and then drive it up and work on the bottom position of a squat or a power clean. Our primary movements, just like in the speed, we try to hit a jump, sprint, and cut each time we go out. Every time we come in the weight room, we try and hit a pull, a squat, and a press. Now, it doesn't have to be a heavy back squat or a deadlift or a heavy bench press. There's a lot of variations. Here's just a few. For the pulls, we hit power cleans, power snatches, high pulls, power pulls. Within that, there's different heights to pull those from. Within that, there's barbells and dumbbells. So a lighter day, maybe dumbbells for that, okay? With squat, we squat, we front squat, we overhead squat, we pause squat, we single leg squat, we lunge, we step up. We do all those things. So a squat for us, for example, this summer, we're lifting Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to squat every day we come in because I don't feel doing an exhaustive upper body session with, you know, 80 sets of shoulder girdle pressing is going to do us any good. It's actually going to do more harm. So we'll do double leg squat Monday, Thursday. Variations of, we'll do a single leg squat, a variation of it could be a lunge or step up, Tuesday, Friday. We never exhaust it on one day. We spread it over the week. We got to practice football every day. We can certainly lift the full body every day. We're going to press every time we come in the weight room as well. So it could be a flat press, incline, overhead, could be one arm, could be push-ups, okay, things like that. Could be things where we're bear crawling, five push-ups each line, working on core stability, shoulder stability. Auxiliary focus, rehab and muscle development. So we get the auxiliary, that's where we're throwing in hamstrings, lower leg. We had a guy miss 3 weeks with a calf injury this year. So you can bet he was our safety that ended up getting signed by, I think, the Bears. So, you know, we couldn't fit him in the salary cap, but he's a darn good safety. Second in the AFC South in interceptions. We lost him for 3 weeks, including the playoff game, with a calf injury. So, you know, looking at our program last year, we didn't really have a lot of lower leg in there. So we're going to throw some in there. We're going to do a single leg calf and things like that. Muscle development, upper back, things like that, kind of really get the body set for training. Neck and core every time. We always do neck, whether it be bridges, manual neck, we have the iron neck, rotation, whatever it is, we're going to get in there. We use a heavy, light, medium system, okay? So we try and go heavy on Monday, light on Wednesday, heavy on Friday. If we're doing a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday splits, heavy, light, medium, light, light. So, geez, Friday may be overhead walk and lunges with a 20-pound chain. That's how light we're going to go, just to work on the movement. Conditioning. Without conditioning, you're a dead man walking. There's no chance, okay? We like to put at the end of the program, pyramid finisher effect. We like to do mobility, speed, and strength, then conditioning. That gives me, if I had 20 half gassers on a day where there's no other things, I can just make that 10 half gassers or 8 because I've already lifted, I've done speed improvement. We've already done a ton of things. We already worked out for about an hour, 15 minutes, so I just have to kind of sprinkle that on top. I've already have a conditioning. I'm probably halfway there condition-wise. I just have to finish it off with conditioning. That's why we like to do it like that. Power conditioning. Goal is not to survive. It's really to thrive. So you don't want to see. I don't want to see our athletes like this the last five reps of their conditioning. I want to see them like this and running well. We're not going to get a sack in the fourth quarter or make a great run in the fourth quarter if we're just getting through it, right? We want to power through. So we don't want to start off really high with 30, you know, gassers. We want to start low and build up, okay? That's how cycling works. The best is when it's varied, fun, exciting, competitive. We use sled races, we do sand pit, we do hills, we compete. They don't even know they're trying, okay? We do ultimate football, where there's a football 5-on-5. They do ultimate volleyball, and it goes for 20 minutes. They want to keep playing. They're like this is awesome. I can't believe this is great. And they're like really getting conditioned. They don't even realize it. So if you can make it fun, there are days when you have to go out and run. Running gets you ready for football, but there's days where you can make it fun too. Tools, hill, stair, sled, sand, team comp, ultimate football. The tests we do, okay, dominators. Those are 60-yard shuttles. We do 20 of those. Half gas are 16. Coach O'Brien would get mad at me if he saw this, but the Pat Texan, I call it the Pat Texan because we stole from the Patriots, okay? It kind of got forced on me, okay, the old half-gasser, but then, you know, because the Patriots do it, and we got to do it like this, you know? But it actually is better than what we were doing before. So begrudgingly, I learned, kicking and screaming, that it was better. We were doing 16 half-gassers when the guys reported to camp, but they had to practice the next day. So, you know, the legs were like this, okay? So we decided to do the Pat Texan's test. He calls it the Texan test. But it's 20 40s, 20 50s, or 20 60s, depending if you're a jet or a bomber or a tank. The tanks run 40 yards, the linemen. The bombers, those combo guys, run 50. The jets run 60s, 30-second rest, 20 reps. It works out great. The guys recover for the next day. It's a better test for us. Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. I know you guys got plenty of great speakers, better than me, after me, so I'm going to wrap it up in the next about 4 minutes, okay? KISS training, in order of action. We talked about mobility, speed, strength, conditioning, and then your template focus depends on training cycle. So when we get in season, everybody, we're going to do a lot of mobility. Speed will be right in the weight room. Maybe it's a few med ball slams and some jumps and a 5-yard start, okay, and some footwork ladder before we lift. The strength's important, okay, but we're not going to spend a lot of time in the weight room. We're going to get what we need to get done and get out. The conditioning is a finisher. It may be rope slams. It may be jumping rope, okay, maybe on the field. When we're in the off season, the conditioning is a big part of that. We're already getting the conditioning on the field in football, but we still keep the template the same. We always hit those things. Okay, now when the inactive guys come in Saturday morning, we hit the conditioning really hard with sled pushes, okay? So it depends on what group's in, depends on what time of year, but think about hitting each part each time so you never lose it, okay? Be ready. Empty templates ready to load, okay? Have your template ready so you can just dump stuff in. I know a lot of athletic trainers are CSCS, which is awesome. So if you have a template ready, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I need something, you have a template, just dump in what you think that athlete needs within your template so you're not redoing the wheel each time. Easy view of the NFL annual training opportunities. Dead period, lasts for about 2 months. Can't call those guys, can't mess with them. You'll get turned into the players union. Off-season, yeah, it's crazy, right? Trying to help you. Hey, don't ever call me again. Okay. Off-season, okay, that's right now. It's all voluntary except for this week. This week's mandatory or you get fined. So we have a holdout right now, and who knows? We'll see how that goes. I'll read the papers. But basically, off-season is 9 weeks long. Phase one and two are just strength coaches. Phase one is just strength. Phase two is strength with a little bit of walkthrough. Phase three is 4 weeks. It's OTAs, football practice, with just a little bit of lifting. So our importance only lasts for 5 weeks. We are de-emphasized the last 4 weeks. We just lift after practice. Okay, how we do that is, when the guys come in practice one, we do a pull exercise and do one auxiliary exercise and get them out. Practice two, a squat exercise. One auxiliary, get out. Practice three, a pressing exercise. One auxiliary, get out. We repeat the cycle because we have a limited time after practice before meetings, but we have to keep lifting, okay? Dead period summer coming up. We just trained the heck out of these guys for 9 weeks. Guess what they do now? They take off for 5 weeks. I didn't make this up. This is the players union, okay? So they got to keep in shape. I made them a packet. Man, I hope they do it. Okay. In season is 6 months long, okay? That's really our longest time. We're trying to train the young guys really hard. We're trying to train the old guys to keep them going, okay? Summary, we train athletes around football activity, mostly in season mode. Our key experiences, Brad already mentioned them. I was a walk-on. I coached Division III. I was a grad assistant. I was a Maryland assistant. I was at Harvard, which was a baptism by fire. I had a great assistant strength coach. We have 41 teams. There was three of us. It was awesome. I loved it. It was like that Katy High School strength coach. You're like this all the time. Hey, volleyball, come here. Let's go. You know, it's crazy, but I loved it. Carolina, winning while keeping it real. Winning was real important in SEC like it is in the Big 12. I get it. But you got to be able to service your athletes and keep your blinders on. Don't worry about what the media is saying. Don't worry about the coaches. Worry about the athletes. Penn State went through some stuff there that we inherited. The athletes were total warriors. I would never trade that experience for anything. I love those guys. And the Texans, helping elite athletes maximize their potential. Reeds, Bill Starr, anything by him? Marty Gallagher, Jeff Connors, strength coach at East Carolina, Ronnie McKeevery, Keys to Progress by John McCallum, Mark Verstegen does a great job of getting new innovative stuff to everybody, The Wow Book for Motivation by Todd Durkin, 5-3-1 by Jim Wendler. These are all things you can steal from. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, How to Plan Your Day. Hey, there's my stuff. I think you may have this in a packet. I'm not sure. If you don't, I'll just leave it up there for a few seconds. There's my cell number. There's my email. Okay. Cell is 281-755-5942. Email is fitzpride@gmail.com. Okay. And, hey, I'm grateful and honored to be here with you. And all, as always, keep it simple, strong. KISS principle at all times. Let me show you a few training picks. Here's my son in my garage, okay? Jumping, throwing, sprinting. I turfed my driveway. My wife didn't realize that until it was done. They showed up. So you got to do it in Houston. You know how much of a yard in Houston, so you got to get it done. We're cutting right there, okay? We're pulling. He's 9 years old, by the way. He's squatting. I know, you're going to turn me in for child endangerment. He's pressing. That's our press. We don't do barbell press. We just do push-ups, okay? Conditioning. He's on the sled, the root hog. And proud of him, and thanks so much for having me. Appreciate you.